Hello, guys, gals, and my non-binary pals. Welcome to The Vocal Minority, with Nick and Steve broadcasting live on the Really American Media platform. Y'all have joined us just in time for our political week in review. Keep in mind, champions, this is all need-to-know news. News you need to know. It's been another wild boar of a week, oink oink. So hop to it, boys. Let's get this dumpster fire under control before we start our weekend. Ugh.
All right, all ready to go. It's the Vocal Minority with Nick and Steve back in action. Ready for another political week in review. My best podcast friend, Steve, are you ready?
Do you have a regular best friend besides me?
No. Okay. You cover all the bases, dude. You're all the way around. Yeah, don't worry about that.
Yeah. Yeah, back again, everybody. We've been doing this live on the Really American YouTube channel for, I don't know, a few months now. But hey, we're new on Facebook today, in theory, if we hooked everything up correctly.
Yeah. Well, no, if the president and founder of our company hooked up everything correctly, okay? So, yeah, I'm not going to take any responsibility for this one.
That's good. Hey, we got a website. It's thevocalminority.net. And various social medias, you can find us. We're on, where are we? TikTok, Instagram, Threads. Blue Sky,
yeah,
and right here on YouTube.
Yeah, it's easier to say, like, we're not on Truth, and I use finger quotations. We're not on Truth Social. We're also not on X. We made that decision, so and I stand by it. So there you go.
We're not on any Russian social media sites either. We're keeping it legit.
Yeah, not that we know of, dude. This show is all about getting vocal. We're here to be part of the resistance, to fight for what is right. And we're glad you're all here to enjoy that process with us. So thanks a lot.
It's funny, you know, speaking of Facebook being on there right now, in theory, somebody posted on Facebook the other day, a friend of mine, and said something like, "Can anyone tell me anything positive that Trump has done for you?" And I felt like, well, he's helped my career significantly because we have spent the last 9 months just, you know, attacking and railing on the guy. So I think we're one of the few people, certainly one of the few liberals, that can say, well, technically he has done something good for us.
I suppose that's fair.
Save the world.
Yeah, I suppose that's fair. You tell me constantly to try and pep up my spirits that, you know what, dude? Trump's keeping us in business right now, and I suppose that's true. So
he is. I do wonder what's going to happen in 3 years when I assume a Democrat will win. Although, I got some words of wisdom from David Letterman recently. Dave was saying that every presidency throughout his career, he always thought, well, when this person's out of office, we're going to have no more material. And he was like, from Reagan to first Bush to Clinton, second Bush, Obama, he was like, I never ran out of material. You never will.
So. Yeah, that's interesting. I wonder, like, say, just say we could rewind and Obama was here again. Like, what would our content be? Just like joy, peace every day, happiness?
Kind of. I feel like we will switch from basically offense to defense, you know? Yeah. Like right now we're on offense. We're going after Trump and trying to fight for what's good. And if we had a Democrat in the office, I think we'd be hyping what is good. And, you know, and by the way, as much as all of us have this delusion that in 3 years that MAGA will just be done and over,
yeah,
like that's that. Trump's out of – it's not they're, – unfortunately, MAGA's around for the next generation between senators and congressmen and governors. Like there's going to be MAGA to report on for quite a while.
Yeah, it's too bad. I think about, you know, I think a lot of us think about, oh, if we could just get to the end of this 4 years, we'll be back to normal. And if you go back and think about when Biden was in office, like things did calm down. I mean, they weren't back to normal per se, but things did calm down quite a bit, right?
Yes. Yeah. I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the pendulum. Like when Obama got elected, then all of a sudden there was this sentiment of like, well, I guess racism is over, everybody. No, it just actually brought out even more racist. Like whenever you take two steps forward, there's always somebody wanting you to take a step back. So
yeah, that's true.
We'll have stuff to talk about. And today we do as well, but of course.
We got plenty. Hey, the cat's meow joining us in our YouTube chat room and showing all blue hearts because – on this particular channel, on this particular podcast, at this point in time, we vote blue no matter who, right?
That is correct. Irishman chiming in from Ireland here. Hi, fellow real Americans. Yeah, we got some good chats going. And by the way, if anyone is on Facebook watching this live, could you comment and just say, like, you're actually seeing this? Because I don't know if it's working or not.
Yeah, we have no idea. But you know what I like about this chat, dude, is that as of late, like, people have been tuning in from all around the world, and we've been seeing that. And we see a lot going on with Australia, a lot going on with New Zealand. I mean, everywhere around the world. But lots of check-ins, and I dig on that. People are interested. In what's going on in America. So
we got three people in a row from Ireland here. Irishman, Aaron, Scott are all checking in from Ireland. Who knew we were so big in Ireland? It's like singles. Remember, oh, we got a big hit single in Belgium right now.
Yeah, exactly.
We're huge in Belgium. We're huge in Ireland.
Yeah, look at this, dude, on YouTube here from UK. So, hey, thanks for the chat. You guys have fun with the dialogue. And if you have things to say, not only to the rest of the chat, but to us, we're going to keep an eye on it as we jump into a political week in review.
This is Need to Know News. News you need to know.
Hello, Americans. This is Paul Harvey. Stand by for news.
We got a lot of news today, Steve. We roll into another week where things weren't light.
What? I'm drowning in news and music.
Oh, you are? Did it go too loud?
All right. A little loud. Scared me a little. Yeah, go for it. What do you got? You want me to go? Who's going? What do we got?
Well, hey, let's start out with something light, because I always like to think of, I always like to see conservatives, and especially conservative talking heads, make idiots of themselves. There's been it's every day, right? But some of them stand out, do they not? I mean,
yeah, sure.
Listen, this particular clip I'm going to play for you is the uproar that we're hearing in a country where we are seeing a genocide happen with Gaza. We are seeing the National Guard deployed. I mean, we're seeing so much shit, it doesn't matter. But in a country with all that happening, we're now fighting about Bad Bunny taking on the halftime Super Bowl show.
Right.
There's been a lot of commentary about it, but I found this clip particularly funny. Do you remember conservative talking head Tommy Lauren?
Oh, her. Yeah, sure. She's back.
We haven't really seen her for a while. She's dyed her hair, and she's on TV again. And here's a great clip from her this past week.
Oh, boy.
But do you think Bad Bunny is a good choice for the Super Bowl?
I'm not that, like, knowledgeable about him, but it seems fine, and I don't know why it's a big deal. No. Seems like a great American artist, so sure.
He's not an American artist, but...
He's Puerto Rican. That's part of America, dear.
Oh, yeah.
You don't think you have any problem with him saying, like... The ICE is, well, I'm sure you don't, mother effers and sons of
no.
And that he's not going to perform here due to immigration.
America agrees with him on that. The majority of Americans think ICE has gone too far. They've watched videos of like 79-year-old business owners be slammed to the ground and their ribs broken by ICE. So I think the American people are probably on board with that message at this point, Tommy.
Who is she?
To be honest, I'm not that sure, but she's fantastic, right?
Yeah, that was good. And, Tommy Lauren, hey, good to see her back. I love this notion that's been floating around of like Bad Bunny is not an American. I mean, first of all, there's been a long list of non-Americans that people don't seem to care about, like The Who or U2.
Yes.
You know, speaking of Ireland. Yeah. But Bad Bunny.
Yeah.
Born in Puerto Rico, which, is part of America. Not a state, but still. You're a U.S. citizen.
I can see why it's confusing to people like Tommy Lauren, because their king, you remember, he threw like paper towels out to the Puerto Rican people. You know, you don't treat Americans like that, but apparently you do.
Yeah. Listen, there's a mixed emotions on Bad Bunny. First of all, not a fan. I mean, it's not that I don't like the guy or hate on him or something. I just that's not my genre. But I've been saying for the last many, many Super Bowls that I feel like they're picking artists that don't match what I feel is the average NFL football watcher. But they clearly don't care what my opinion on the matter is. And they've been picking, whether it's the, you know, the rap superstars, Eminem and Dre and Tupac, or not Tupac, they brought Tupac back.
But Kendrick Lamar was the big, it was a huge controversy, right?
Yeah, and Rihanna, like, you know, they've been consistent over the last several years with what they, you know, think is what they're going for. So I guess Bad Bunny's in there. I also highly highly doubt the powers that be at the NFL sat back and were like, who would piss off MAGA the most? Let's see what we can do to upset MAGA. Yeah. And you see today they're threatening to do some sort of ice swarm at the Super Bowl because of Bad Bunny.
Yes. Yeah. How crazy is that, dude?
What does that even mean?
Just that he will draw in supposedly a lot of illegal immigrants.
So. Oh, sure. They can afford a couple of grand per ticket for a sold out Super Bowl. Yes. What are they talking about? Not to mention security around that place. Like, are they trying to arrest Bad Bunny himself? Like,
dude, the government probably gives free tickets to illegal aliens, just like they do health care and everything else, you know.
So I hear they're living the good life while I'm watching at home. Which I would prefer. I don't want to go to the Super Bowl. Sounds like a pain in the ass.
No. Nor do I. But, it's very funny to see. We also know that the world is laughing at us. We always say that as we see Trump on these international stages. The world's laughing at us, dude. And they're like, no, we've never been more respected. Our country's hot right now. The country's so hot. Did you see a little gaffe that Trump made? Well, I shouldn't call it a little gaffe because it's a big gaffe. When he was talking about ending war, did you hear him?
Is he John Lennon now?
He's ended so many wars, Steve. I mean, the Nobel Peace Prize should be coming his way. But he settled a war, between Albania. He stopped a war with Albania and was talking about.
To think that we settled Azerbaijan and Albania as an example. It was going on for years.
He doesn't mean Albania. He means Armenia. The last time Albania was at war with anyone was in 1954, and Donald Trump was 8 years old.
So he makes that gaffe, and at the same time never corrects it because he doesn't do that kind of shit. But he talks about how thankful that people should be for it, and, you know, no one's saying thank you to him. And these were, leaders. I think the prime minister of Albania is seen in this, but he's talking to some other world leaders. And I think this is hysterical. Shows you exactly how the world is laughing at us. Not only citizens of the world, but other, presidents, prime ministers, politicians.
Sure. You should make an apology to us. Because you didn't congratulate us for the peace deal that President Trump made between Albania and Azerbaijan.
I'm sorry for that, guys.
Yeah. So, and you worked very hard. He worked very hard, and you were so interested to have peace, and you were obsessed about Armenia, and you didn't thank Trump for Albania.
Other world leaders are mocking Trump and laughing at him.
Yeah, I mean, no kidding. The UN, there was some polite applause, I guess, but a whole bunch of silence. And yes, I mean, I've done multiple stories for Really American about the fact that we're just an international joke, whether it's artists or musicians or just citizens. The video I just did today, I started off with a quick montage of some British citizens being asked, would you move to America right now? And everyone was like, no, it's so toxic. All the ICE stuff. They're even talking about ICE over there. Yeah. One woman said, there's no freedom of speech anymore. Someone else said, I would immediately lose 10 of my rights leaving the UK and going over to America.
Like, yeah.
We used to be the unofficial leaders of the world. And I would still argue that probably on the pop culture front, we still are. But on every other front, no, we're not.
And I think we're dying in that arena, too, to some level. I mean, people are going to lose complete interest in this country at some point if things keep going this way. With all the suppression on speech and artistry, you watch how our pop culture changes,
Well, they keep saying there's a brain drain going on in our country, which is definitely true. But yeah, there's going to be a creativity drain happening as well. Just a drain. We're just going down the drain in every possible way. So yes. I think it's just about surviving the next 3 years and seeing who's left standing.
Yes. Yeah.
We'll see. And quite frankly, I mean, some of it has been good for us. There are people out there that have bowed out of political commentary because they're afraid of getting freaking arrested and sent off to Guantanamo. You and I have talked anywhere between jokingly and very seriously about, are we willing to go to jail for what we're doing here, which sounds absurd, yeah, but it's not anymore.
No, it's not, because we've already seen, I mean, this whole thing with Kimmel really opened up people's eyes to, like, mainstream media. He's not even a talking head so much as he is just, he's a comedian and a late night talk show host. So if Jimmy Kimmel can try, you know, be taken down, or, you know, they tried very hard, you know, who knows what will happen to us. At some point in time, you talk about it before, David Pakman or somebody like us or Cohen is going to be taken down so they can make an example of us, you know.
I think Destiny is the top of their hit list because he's pretty outspoken. So as soon as Destiny winds up in Guantanamo, then I think we should all be worried. But, I mean, in all seriousness, all of the hosts are really American. Have been chatting about this, that, hey, should we be worried? How far do we take this? And I think we've all pretty much said, like, you know, screw it. You're not going to intimidate us into silence. But, again, it's just absurd that we're even having this discussion.
For sure.
This notion that I'm a terrorist because I called Trump an authoritarian. Apparently I'm inciting violence, which means I'm a domestic terrorist. I never thought that'd be on my resume, but apparently it is.
It's been said outright, dude. You're a domestic terrorist at this point.
Right. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, the Midas touch here. Yeah. So they're the other ones I'm watching for. As soon as these guys, which are mainly lawyers, when they start going to Guantanamo, then – yeah, I'll be broadcasting live from Canada any day now.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, you got something you want to throw out?
Well, I don't know. I feel like we should get our thoughts on the shutdown out there. I know it's a big story, and it's nuanced and all that. Oh, whoops, I just used a word MAGA doesn't understand. Nuanced means there's intricacies going on that you might have to ponder.
You just missed them again, dude. Yeah. There's a lot of stuff going on. I mean, it's complicated. Mm-hmm. Let's say it that way.
Think of this. If you have a bucket full of bullets for all your guns, you know how one bullet doesn't fit every gun, right? You got to sift through the bullets and figure out which one fits into which gun. That's what's going on when it comes to the shutdown. I think I just spoke in their terms.
Yeah, I think so. For our two MAGA listeners, hopefully you got it.
Yeah, that is one of the very many things I really love about Really American. You and I have been on social media for several years, and I mean, just getting trolled and harassed literally on Reddit once. I mean, woof, after the election, I had to stop posting on a page. I mean, people are coming after us. But this Really American bubble we're in here, it seems to attract the like-minded, and that's always good. Yeah. But sometimes on this live stuff, you trolls chime in here, but
roll into a few. I don't want to be in an echo chamber, that's for sure. But it's, you know, we've already figured out it's very hard to educate these MAGA people. They don't want to listen, they don't want to learn, they don't want to expand, they don't want to change their minds or bend at all. So I don't know, I've kind of given up, I guess.
Well, remember, Trump has famously a few years ago said he loves the poorly educated. But just recently, he said that smart people hate me. Smart people hate me. Yeah.
You know, like, he's right.
Yes, yes, that is that's absolutely true. So, yeah, the government shutdown. I mean, first of all, the word compromise, there's another one I may have to define for people, because this environment we have created of continuing resolutions, we don't just pass budgets anymore. We just every month or 3 months, like, start kicking the can with these continuing resolutions.
Yeah.
And that idiocy puts us all in a position where whoever is not in power, all of a sudden you got some negotiation, mustard. You can hold a gun to their head, not literally, obviously, but you're forcing everybody to negotiate or to compromise to some extent, or here's where we're at. So that's my first beef, is like, this is the environment our government has created. So don't bitch and moan when what you have put out there comes back to bite you.
Yeah, I suppose compromise, as you call it, used to be a lot easier, you know, to do. I mean, you know, when's the last time you can think about in the past decade or two that the government has shut down so frequently? How many times has the government shut down since Trump's been in office?
Well, it happened once during his first term and now this one. And it did happen during Obama. I mean, again, though, this is the environment we've created with these continuing resolutions that we're not just passing budgets anymore, because we never heard of this growing up in the 80s and the 90s, because that's not how the government functioned. But here we are. So the Republicans, as they keep trying to remind us all, landslide election, I won in a historic win, I control everything. Well, then this is on you, obviously. And as Trump said during that Obama shutdown, it's on the president. It's the president's fault when this happens. So there certainly is that part of it.
Yeah, the rules change, though, and the goalpost always moves. So.
Of course, yeah. So, you know, I mean, first of all, what the Democrats are asking for right now, not unreasonable at all. I'm on the ACA health insurance, you know, and I don't need my premiums doubling or spiking at the end of this year. And some would say, you know, well, hey, Obamacare's not working, so why do you need the subsidies? Well, feel free to all put your heads together and come up with a better plan. But as we know, Republicans have a, what did Trump say, a concept of a plan?
Concept of a plan. It's never moved beyond that. And the plan that Obama put together, it was in the works for a very long time, you know. Right. So
here we are. So, yeah, fix what we have if you don't have a better idea. And I really just keep laughing at this whole thing of the Republicans keep saying, well, Democrats, open up the government and we'll compromise. We'll talk to you then. That's like, you know, the movie when, I don't know, like the good guy gets the artifact that the Nazis won and he's like threatening to throw it off the roof. And the Nazis are like, just give us the trophy, give us the ancient statue, and then we'll like, why would you give up the only leverage you have and then expect some good faith negotiation when we have seen no form of good faith negotiations happening up until now? So, yeah, we're just going to give up our leverage, huh?
Well, and then the lying, you know, that Mike Johnson and so many others has done about this shutdown. And it's basically saying, like, you know, we're not going to let the Democrats get their way. They want to give health care to illegal aliens, and we're not going to let that happen. Listen, that's
bullshit.
I mean, it's not happening. Just again, I mean, Trump loves dumb people. Look into it a little bit and see if that's really what's going on, because I promise you it's not.
Here's something you got to ponder, though. Like, let's just say the Democrats get what they want and they extend the subsidies or they reduce these Medicaid cuts. They're helping a lot of Republicans with that. Whereas if this does go unresolved into next year, everyone's going to see it. They're going to see the spike in health care. They're going to see Medicaid getting cut. And then that will backfire on the GOP, the Republicans. So part of me is like, don't go saving a bunch of Republicans, because then they're not going to be pissed off next year. But obviously you're screwing over a lot of Democrats and a little, you know, undecideds and all that, too. So,
yeah, you're screwing over Democrats and you're not doing what our party stands for. And that is nonpartisan, taking care of the U.S. population. You know what? Even if we don't do it and the people start to see, you know, all these Republicans start to see premium spike and losing health care, Trump will spin it into some way. It's a Democrat hoax, you know. They won't care. It won't matter. So let's just take care of people's health like we've been committed to doing for years now. And I don't think we can play politics like that. Like, we're not going to take care of you if you don't do this, because it'll never happen.
I suppose there'll be plenty of other things that we can be pissed off about. So, you know, someone was just saying we should shut down Grindr. That's a good idea. We saw a spike in Grindr traffic at the Charlie Kirk Memorial.
I don't know if we should shut it down. I think it's great for them to get to, you know, relieve a little stress, for Christ's sake. You know?
Right. And here's Scott saying what I exactly just echoed, that even if the Dems got in tomorrow, there'll be stuff that won't get back to the way it was.
Yeah,
that's a great question. I mean, first of all, I don't know if we do want to fix too many things in the meantime, but I've said on the show before that we're in the FAFO stage right now, F-A-F-O, fuck around and find out. In 3 years, we're going to be in the FIFO stage, the fix it and find out. There's going to be a year or two of nothing but fixing stuff that Trump has broken. Yeah. And I hope as commentators that we can sit back and go, look, we're fixing this, we're fixing that. It's going to take us time. It's classic cycle, right? The Republicans break everything. Democrats spend 4 years fixing stuff. At the end of the 4 years, things are just getting better. But then everyone's like, well, the past 4 years sucked. I'm voting for the Republican.
That's why with like Obama having 8 years, because the first four is spent just fixing shit. And then we can get to work in the next four. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. What is this comment? I was laid off from work after 17 years in July, lost my health insurance because it's too expensive to pay now out of pocket, found a new job, pays less, so I still can't afford it. Yeah, I mean, that's definitely a vicious cycle we all see going around, that people are losing jobs, so you lose health insurance. COBRA, which is the thing that allows you to extend your health coverage, is insanely expensive.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had to do that in Seattle once. I mean, that's completely unaffordable.
Yes.
And then, yeah, you get a new job, and now you're making less, or you're starting over at the bottom of that chain. So, yeah, it's fun stuff.
Hope things work out for you, Hubba. Our healthcare system, as we've talked about, you know, to nauseam, it sucks. It's, you know, it's broken. So
it is. And by the way, I don't think Trump wants to negotiate in good faith. I do think he wants the Trump shutdown that's happening. I think they're going to run roughshod. They're going to do stuff with no oversight. And I do think this whole Project 2025 thing is on full display right now.
Yeah.
You know, they are trying to do what they've envisioned of gutting the government. And as with everything Trump, it's going to end up in court. But in the meantime, everyone's going to suffer. And I just have zero faith that when it gets to the Supremes that it's going to, you know, get defeated on its merits. They seem to just want to give Trump any excuse to do anything he wants.
Yeah, no, 100%. You know, we spent so much time during Trump's campaign for his second term of him saying, like, I don't even know about Project 2025, never heard of it. Well, this week he finally came out and acknowledged, like, the very successful founder of Project 2025. Yes. Like, he knows about it. We tried to tell all those dumb bastards that wouldn't listen, like, it's obvious. But yeah, I think that this is a great time during a government shutdown, just like you said, even less checks and balances in place for them to implement some of this stuff. I mean, we're seeing it happen all around us already.
Yeah. You know, Violet Storm right here, great comment. You Dems need to demand universal health care once they're in, full stop, no more of this crap. Like, couldn't agree more. You know, other countries have it dialed in, and I am sick of people saying that it's you wait forever or they don't cover this stuff. Like, not only have we heard from, like, multiple Canadians, whether it's, you know, Jim Carrey or whatever, like Ryan Reynolds have all spoken out about how phenomenal their healthcare is. But, you know, my dad is a surgeon who has practiced all over the world, going to teach in other hospitals. And he has said, I see it firsthand over there. Their systems are better. Like, if you have tennis elbow and you need a tendon repaired, yeah, you may have to schedule it out a few months. But obviously, if you're in a car accident, if you're dying again, like, of course they get you in. Why would the system have sustained this long if that's what it was?
It's funny to see, dude. Just, you know, everyone has a different perspective on things. And I'll tell you, with my mom, like, she's been dealing with some doctor's appointments and stuff like that. She made a comment to me last week that, like, oh, for that appointment, I have, she's on Medicaid, you know, she's 79 years old. She said, oh, I had to pay $200 out of pocket just to go to that appointment. Yeah. And it was kind of a nothing thing appointment. I mean, we didn't learn a whole bunch. But to her, she was like, $200 extra is a lot of money out of my fixed income, dude.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't know. We're very broken. And like you just said, I mean, other countries have been doing it well for a long time. These myths of long lines and, you know, botched surgeries, and it's just not true. I mean, it might be, some of it might be partially true, but it's not true generally speaking.
Yeah. Here's a comment. I'm Canadian, and the longest I've had to wait for healthcare was when I was accompanying an American friend to her general practitioner, I'm guessing that is, in New Jersey.
Bravo, so. Dude. That is a brilliant comment, because it's so true. I mean, even though we pay so much for our healthcare here, I mean, you can actually get some good healthcare, but it takes forever, and it takes a lot of work. It is exhausting to be sick and navigate our healthcare system, I'll tell you that. Personally.
Yeah, absolutely. And back on the shutdown topic, the insanely racist Mexican sombrero profanity laced AI video Trump put out this week that I did a video on for Really American. And I just, it's hard to be shocked anymore. But I am just so shocked when something like that happens, where it is just comically, overtly racist. And I know Hakeem Jeffries isn't Latino himself. That's the only way it would have been even more racist. But just, you know, mariachi music and a sombrero and the mustache. And they have Chuck Schumer just, you know, dropping F-bombs and swearing and saying, even black people are upset by this. Like, even black. What negative connotation is that? If I said that even Nick Reynolds can see that it's a smart idea, that is so condescending.
Completely.
And yeah. They can't speak English. Like, I am so sick of pointing out that anyone who has a struggle speaking English like I am right now, it means it's your second language, asshole. Like, how many languages do you speak? Mega can barely speak one language. Yes. So maybe open up your worldview just a little bit.
It's crazy, dude. For people who didn't see it, you know, he generated this AI video / picture of Hakeem Jeffries in a sombrero with a mustache. Rachel and my wife and I were talking about it last night. And I was like, this is racist on so many levels because it's the way that MAGA sees when you talk about Mexican people, Latina people. This is how they see them, you know.
Yeah.
Putting pistols up. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, they are racist. That's the only way that they see them, all these old racist stereotypes. And to put that on Hakeem Jeffries is just absolutely crazy. J.D. Vance was asked about it in a press conference, and he said, hey, it's a joke. If we can't have a little fun while we're fighting out politics. And here's a promise I made. As soon as Democrats decide to reopen the government, the memes will stop. That is a promise and guarantee. I've talked to the president about it, and that'll happen. So okay. It's like a quid pro quo.
Bullshit, first of all, that Trump's going to ever stop with that kind of garbage. But, you know, I mean, did I miss the chapter in The Art of the Deal where you just demean and insult the person you're trying to negotiate with and get a deal out of? Like, this is just proves the point that he doesn't want to negotiate.
No,
you don't. You would never do this. If you're trying to buy a used car off someone, do you be like, I'll offer you $500 less, you fat pig piece of
crap? It's The Art of the Deal, Steve. You just don't get it.
I truly don't get it. So, yeah. And then, I don't know, the newest AI video that came out yesterday, the this Reaper thing.
Oh, dude, I got it. Should we play it?
Yeah, please. I mean, way to ruin one of my favorite SNL bits.
Yeah.
I mean,
it is just disgusting, but it's also very scary at the same time because the meaning behind it. I implore you as you're watching this to look at the lyrics because they are playing in subtitles. And it is. It's freaky.
Yeah. Yes, now I want to negotiate. That's great. Can you please not ruin great songs? I mean, seriously. I know it's the least of the offenses going on there.
You'll never be able to listen to YMCA the same, Steve.
Well, that's fine. I'm okay giving up on that one. But, yeah, got to have my cowbell and Blue Oyster Cult there. And did they not realize sort of the cell phone that is going on there, like portraying yourselves as demonic hell-based figures? On the same day that Trump said Dems were all satanic worshipers.
Yeah, yeah. I guess here's another word that they may not know. It's called irony. You
know, like, dude, I have used the word irony and hypocrisy so many times in the last 9 months that it has lost all meaning and I can hardly articulate the words anymore. I feel like my spell check is going to say, this is the 7,000th time you've used that word. You maybe want to find a different word.
You want a thesaurus?
Right. I mean, wow.
Yeah.
And yeah, Mega is just sucking it up. And I just don't know when we got to the stage of high school level immaturity in our politics. And that, you know, we can all, why can't we all take a joke? Meanwhile, they're on South Park and they're just freaking out over their, you know, portrayals there. They need SNL canceled. They want Jimmy Kimmel canceled. They want Fallon off the air. You want all the comedians off that you don't like. You know, trying to cancel comedy. You cancel comedy.
It's low level humor. Right. Low level intelligence. Yeah. I don't know. If you don't think that that's racist, then you probably need to look inside yourself. Wonder if you know what racism is all about. But
Mega should be able to look inside themselves because they got their heads shoved up their ass already.
Hey. So,
you know, while you're up there, check out your morals.
So. Yeah. No, lots of stuff has been going on like that. Here's something we talked about. Mike Johnson was stopped as he was leaving a hearing by Madeline Dean. She is Pennsylvania U.S. rep for the 4th Congressional District. And she had some words to say to him. I got a couple of videos of her talking to Mike Johnson. I'll play the first one for you, and then we'll have a little commentary.
Sure.
The president is unhinged. He is unwell. What are you doing?
A lot of folks on your side are too. I don't control.
Oh my God! Please, that performance in front of the generals. That
I didn't see it.
Is so dangerous. You know I serve on foreign affairs and appropriations. Yeah. This is a collision of those two things. Our allies are looking elsewhere. Our enemies are laughing.
I just left.
You
the
have a president who is. You have a president who is unwell.
Wow. You may notice that she said, he's unwell, he's unhinged, and he's unwell. And
Mike Johnson confirmed it.
Yeah, he did. He said a lot of people on your side are too.
Right.
Like, that's just a full admission, dude, that you know he's unwell.
Yeah, I'll take that. If you want to say some people on our side are unhinged, I happen to think that Fetterman right now out of Pennsylvania, he seems unhinged.
Yeah.
But sure, okay, fine. I don't know even who you're talking about, really, but fine. But he is acknowledging that to say that on your side there are two means that, yeah, he's acknowledging that Trump is unwell.
Yeah.
So it's that lack of self-awareness again, you know?
Yeah. No, completely. I mean, that's what happens when you get trapped in a hallway like that and just have to respond to something. Like, you don't have a lot of time to articulate and think about your response. That's exactly why she probably met him in the hallway, and a lot came out in that conversation. She went on to ask him about putting Hakeem Jeffries in a sombrero with a mustache, and he had a response.
Yeah.
With Hakeem and Schumann.
It wasn't my stuff.
It's not your stuff. It's disgraceful. It's faded. It's racist. You should call it out. Is it racist? You put a sombrero on a black man who's the leader of the house. You don't see that as racist? We need you desperately to leave.
It must get hard, dude. It must get hard to have to be either the Speaker of the House, the press secretary, like to defend all this crap. It must get tough unless you're just a vile piece of crap.
Yeah, no, it really is. And I would encourage everyone to check out the video I did on Really American, because I ended it with Trump in a sombrero with the mustache. Like, okay, if this isn't racist and if this is what MAGA relates to, then so I had Trump with a sombrero, and I overdubbed his words just like you did with Chuck Schumer. And, you know, I hate to have to go tit for tat, but I feel like if you put a mirror up to them, maybe on some level, they'll be like, hey, wait a minute. It's not funny when you do it to us. Because that's what they say after every SNL, after every Jimmy Kimmel show. It's not funny. Yeah. That's hate speech because I hate it. That's an illegal campaign contribution because you're supporting the Democrats. Like,
yes.
What effing country do you think we live in? And by the way, every president at some point hates the freedom of speech that we have because every president gets criticized. It is a fundamentally core part of that job. So if you're a thin-skinned, whiny little snowflake bitch like Trump, maybe this isn't the job for you, buddy. Why don't you just go play some golf and retire? Because you're pretty much have one foot in the grave already.
One of the most thin-skinned things I ever saw, dude, was when, there was some idiot reporter in the Oval Office, and he was saying to Trump, it's supposed to be a protest, but there's a little tent outside the White House. Do you remember this conversation?
Yeah.
It needs to be taken down. Trump's listening, and then he's like, you know, it's kind of anti-Trump, and you just see something like wake up in Trump, and he's just like, take it down today. Like, mm-hmm. He has the thinnest skin that is out there.
Even with all that spray tan on him, he still has very thin skin. And by the way, the Mike Johnson answer there of he didn't see his speech to, you know, the generals. Yeah. First of all, liar.
Yeah.
Secondly, that would be like us in the news world and political commentary being like, I didn't watch the news this week. Like, it's your effing job. What do you mean you're not watching these things? You didn't at least read the highlights? You didn't go home and watch it on the news that night? Like, that's just...
I don't buy it.
No, of course. But if it were true, that would be just a terrible commentary on your work ethic.
Yeah.
Like, you're in government. You should be paying attention. Especially the speaker of the freaking, you know, the leader of the House. Like,
yeah.
Pay attention to what's going on. I didn't see it. So many mega elected officials say that. Like, I didn't watch it. Didn't see that. Hear no evil, see no evil.
Yeah, and there's no way to hold them accountable other than, like, Madeline Dean there did. Just get in their face and say exactly what needs to be said. They'll end up looking stupid, so.
No, for sure. What do you feel about Trump just trying to give away American artifacts as gifts to other countries?
What is he trying to give away? I may not be in the know about it.
Well, first of all, I thought it was funny. Cash Patel went to, I think, New Zealand this week and gave their leaders guns that are completely illegal in New Zealand, even though they were like replica guns. So they had to melt them down. I mean, first of all, what is that? How does that look? Like, hey, we're Americans. Here's some replica guns for you.
Where was this? Where did
New Zealand? New Zealand, I believe. Yeah. So there's that. But then the story came out today that I just found crazy and weird. A museum director said that he was fired after refusing to give President Trump a sword from former President Dwight D. Eisenhower's collection. Trump had intended to give the sword to King Charles on a state visit. And this guy from the museum said, like, that's property of America and it's here to be preserved. Like, I'm not allowed to just give it away. and nor are you, actually. Like, it's property of America. And so the guy got fired today, mysteriously, after refusing Trump's request to give him an American artifact so that he could give it to another leader. That is like when you're late for a birthday party and you look around your house and you're like, I bet he would like this orange mug that I have, right? I'm just going to give him this orange mug so I don't have to go shop or anything.
So good, dude. What in the world is he thinking? That is just, it's another commentary that this all belongs to me. This is all mine.
Yes.
I own this. This is my country, and I will do what I please.
It is a microcosm of how he is fleecing America. I'm just going to give away stuff.
Completely.
And this guy, Todd Arrington, that got fired, he said, I never imagined that I would be fired after almost 30 years of government service for something like this. Just doing his job. Like, no, this isn't a gift shop. It's a museum. So, you know. Like,
the gift shop is in the Oval Office or right outside of it. So you got to go there.
Exactly. But then Trump would have to spend money to buy an actual gift. And we've seen the other tacky crap he's given world leaders. He gave somebody like this fake gold, plated eagle to put on your desk or something. He is the tackiest old man there is.
Yeah.
And I love all the headlines I keep seeing, by the way. Whatever the story is, Trump, 79, does blah, blah, blah. Trump, 79, does blah, blah, blah. Trump, 79. Like this, multiple news organizations just keep putting his age in the headline. So,
yeah.
As a reminder.
You have to. He's crazy. Crazy AF.
He is crazy, and he needs to retire. And honestly, posting all these AI videos, that is something your deranged grandfather does. And honestly, if my grandpa did it, I would take the keys to the car away. So we need to take the keys to the White House away. The med bed video he posted, this right-wing conspiracy that the government has medical beds that cure all ailments.
Yeah,
Trump is running around with cankles.
You lay in this little capsule. Yeah, he runs around. He's ill.
Right.
That's real funny, man. And he posted that. that, and it wasn't, and he posted it like it was real. That's the funny thing. Like, I didn't remember I did that.
That's the thing. I couldn't tell. Did he think the med beds were real and he doesn't remember that he gave the speech? Or, yeah, I really feel like he watched that. He was like, I don't remember that speech, but boy, I sounded good there. I should share this thing.
Yeah.
And then it was deleted the next day, again, like your crazy grandpa. Like somebody was like, no, old man, Trump 79, let me delete that post you made because med beds are not real.
Yeah, Caroline Levitt commented on that, and she's like, our president's very good at social media, as we all know, and he is allowed to post something and then take it down if he wants to.
Yeah, he is.
Nobody said he wasn't allowed. He's over the age of 13, technically. Maybe right. Not with maturity or intelligence, but just because you're allowed to do something as the leader of the free world, which I don't even think we can use that expression anymore, because as we started off saying, the world's laughing at us. So.
Yeah. We started out this week with some great commentary coming from just a lot of people on TV talking about Pete Hegseth talking to the military and what a joke it was. We also saw Trump come out and make a speech. Yeah, apparently that wasn't supposed to happen, but he saw Hegseth out there and thought, oh, I want to get some of that. So he came out to a quiet room with no applause, and he made comment of like, oh, this is the quietest room I've ever walked into, you know. Let me just tell you that Pete Hegseth demeaned our army, demeaned our military, I should say, said terrible things that I don't believe are happening. This is just a very short video because he couldn't take that whole speech. I mean, the generals that were sitting there couldn't take that speech. So I'll just play this for you, and it's a little more entertaining.
It all starts with physical fitness and appearance. If the Secretary of War can do regular hard PT, so can every member of our joint force. It's completely unacceptable to see fat generals and admirals in the halls of the Pentagon and leading commands around the country and the world. It's a bad look. It is bad, and it's not who we are.
Wow.
Thank you, Eric Swalwell.
How about some pseudo-Nazi-looking tattoos like Hegseth is rocking, too?
Yeah. I mean, it was just – I mean, he talked about no more beardos. I didn't even know what a beardo was, to be honest with you, but – I guess it's weirdos with a beard. Like, you're going to have to start shaving. There's going to be no more men in dresses. Like, all of these things that he's talking about are not things that are happening on any large-scale level in our military. Just demeaning. It was demeaning to women. My wife's a veteran, and it was just demeaning all the way around to everybody. And generals didn't take kindly to it.
No, they sat there stone face, in part because they weren't impressed with that kind of talk. Yeah. Military has a long tradition of not being partisan whatsoever. Yeah. But I think they were – that's also what they do. They're not going to sit there and cheer and applaud. These are stoic, serious people. They got called in from around the world for something that could have been done on Zoom or an email. I mean, that entire display was crazy. So, yeah, for Trump to show up and then, you know, be preaching at them. And how come no one's applauding me? Where's the applause?
As soon as he goes in, he tells them, you know, like, where's my applause and everything? He was like, you know, you can clap if you can clap if you want to. That's something somebody says when they're not getting applause. Right. But he said, you can get up and walk out of this room if you want to. We're going to play it free and easy here. Although, you'll probably be fired and let go and lose your rank, you know, like threatening them as some sort of joke. It was disgusting.
Do you know this whole, the military, shaving exception that they're apparently not going to allow people in the army to have beards anymore? Do you know that there's a majorly racist angle to that whole thing?
Sure. Yeah, no, a lot of people have, it's religious, I mean, for them. They're
that's part of it, but there's a medical thing. So I didn't know this because I'm a white dude, so I'm not all up on every aspect of black life. But a couple of months ago, this notion came up. I did a video for Really American, did my research, and realized that there, a lot of African-American men, when they shave, they get this weird stubble thing going on that gets all irritated and infected.
Yeah.
So they've had this shaving exemption for, anyone could apply for it, but it was primarily African-American men that would have this irritation. And obviously, we fight a lot of wars or conflicts in hot, you know, areas. So it was put in place for a pretty rational reason. These are brave men and women that want to sign up. So if you've got this medical condition, then sure. What do we care if you have a freaking beard? They weren't allowed to have some Rastafarian huge beard, but they could have a beard like I do, like keep it trimmed.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, so to eliminate that really goes after a lot of African-American men that have signed up to serve our country, unlike President Bonespurs, BT Dubs.
Yes. Now, there was a I watched a guy, an African-American guy, talking about it today, and he had just shaved, and he was showing what it did to his face. And he was talking about, you know, what bullshit it was, and he wasn't going to be quiet about it when he showed up to work today, you know. And I think, what a stupid thing. What a stupid thing to, yeah, to care about.
Absolutely. Speaking of showing up to work, what do you think about these emails, the auto replies? So a bunch of government agencies right now, if you email someone to their direct personal email at their federal job, you're going to get an auto reply saying, hey, it's me, Steve Harness. I'm out of the office for an unknown amount of time because the radical left Democrats have shut down the government.
Yeah. Caroline Leavitt is the voicemail at the White House comment line, and she says the same thing, like, you know. As soon as the radical left Democrats decide to reopen the government, we'll be happy to assist you. Yeah. I think it's crazy, dude.
Listen, I'm glad she's keeping herself busy updating the voicemail at the White House.
But yeah.
There's been a bunch of employees I was watching on the news today that discovered this was happening. They went on to their email and changed it. And then within hours, it was changed back again. Huh. Someone in my town, I've got a bunch of, you know, I live near Lake Tahoe, and we've got a bunch of Federal Forest Service people around here. On the local website, if you go to it right now, it says government closed because of the radical left. The Forest Service, you know, one of the least partisan groups out there. You know, Smokey Bear, that's their world. And now, only you can prevent Democrats from shutting down the government.
Well, and basically, if you are a Democrat, it says the same thing, right? You don't get to write it.
Right. Yeah. No, so they could reword it. And that's the screwed up thing is they're making it look like you wrote it because it's your auto reply. So, yeah, I mean, it's insulting.
To say the least. Yeah. Hey, dude, should we talk about what happened in the Caribbean today?
Sure. Yes. Okay. Let's. Because we've been talking about this, and I don't think it's getting enough attention whatsoever.
No. Pete Hegseth said on X today, U.S. military killed four narco terrorists in kinetic strike on a boat. He said was carrying narcotics off the coast of Venezuela and was headed to America to poison our people Friday morning. This is what that looks like. If you have any curiosity, I mean,
it's a boat full of humans. Oh, not anymore.
It's only four humans, Steve.
Yeah, a few thousand miles away, sovereign citizens of another nation that we're not at war with.
Yeah.
Although apparently now we've declared that we're in an armed conflict with all drug cartels.
Yeah.
To cover our bases. You know?
Yeah. Because, you know, killing people without a lot of intel in international waters, I mean, it's a little weird. Let's hear Trump.
Well, hold on. Pete Hegseth, his quote today was, our intelligence without a doubt confirmed that they were trafficking narcotics, yet they put out no evidence to support that whatsoever.
Yeah, though we haven't seen anything.
On any of these.
No, not on any of them. This is number four. Yes. That has happened within the last month, basically. Mm-hmm. This is Trump speaking on Venezuela.
It's like in Venezuela, you're seeing the boats going. We can't find any more boats. They're carrying drugs. Massive. Every boat kills about 25,000 people. That's what they have. They had fentanyl mostly and a lot of other drugs. And we take them out, and we've taken out four. So. And it's on air. Everybody gets to see it. Not that we like to do that. But every boat kills 25,000 on average. Some people say more. You know, you see these boats just stacked up with bags of white powder.
Any competent person.
Mostly fentanyl and other drugs, too.
Yeah. Fentanyl does not come from
And now we have a problem. General Kane says, sir, there are no boats out there. Not even fishing boats. They don't want to go fishing. I don't blame them.
I don't blame
There'll be
them
no fishing today. But it's amazing what strength will do, because what we want to do is stop drugs from flowing into our country. It's destroying. We lost 300,000 people died last year.
Wow.
Wow. Isn't that unbelievable, dude? Who cares if you can't fish anymore and feed your people? Like, yeah, it's good there's no boats out there.
We've screwed their entire economy up, and now they can't even fish anymore because they're afraid I will say they're narco-terrorists and bomb them. And by the way, I mean, I find this whole story to be just outrageously offensive. Obviously, it's murder, or if you want to be technical, it's extrajudicial killings of people. Like, we are not at war with them. But do you know why Trump has declared that we are in an armed conflict with the cartels?
What is it?
It's now an official act.
Yeah.
He is making it crystal clear that he is the one ordering this. It's an official act of the president, which we now know, because of the Supreme Court, makes it immune.
Yeah.
So even though this is killing, it is murder, like he can never be prosecuted for it, not in America. The international tribunals could and hopefully do go after him.
Yeah.
So that if he, you know, becomes like Putin, that if he shows up in the wrong country, he can be arrested immediately. But and I'm seeing a lot of people saying that, you know, the increase in military activity around Venezuela, like, sort of looks like we're about to attack the country. And then we are in an armed conflict, and then all of this is permissible.
Well, again, the president of peace is moving us closer to war. Yeah, we do have boats, and we have all, I think we have 4,500 soldiers wrapped around Venezuela right now. The Venezuelan army is doing training. You know, everyone's ready for this to turn into something different than it is. And some people say, like, oh, what about those Epstein files, dude?
Right. Yes. I mean, it's certainly a distraction from that and a million other things, the shutdown and all the other failures. And you know, as I like to always point out in this story, there's some assertion that these drugs will get to America and then they're going to force them down our throats and kill 25,000 Americans. Like, drugs are purchased by Americans.
Yeah.
I know it's illegal, but they wouldn't be going through all this effort to get it here if there weren't Americans that want to buy the stuff. Not saying that makes it okay, but I'm just saying, like, there's a supply and demand going on here. They're not just poisoning the well water for every, you know, citizen.
Well, and if anything, all the work that the Trump administration is doing is creating the need for drugs. You know, like,
yeah, exactly.
People are depressed, dude. People are want to leave reality for just a little while. I'm not
such
saying
a great,
it's great
point.
But come
who
on.
Wants to be sober right now? And yes, as Violet Storm just said there, they aren't in American waters. It won't work for his immunity. Well, that's what I'm saying. For an international tribunal could go after him, yeah, but not here. Now, by the way, though, that still doesn't mean that he couldn't be impeached over it. It's obviously a high crime or a misdemeanor, but that would require people that aren't complicit, you know, in the Congress, in both houses of the Congress to actually vote him out for murdering citizens of another nation thousands of miles away. That you're 100% sure, absolutely no doubt, narco-terrorists. How the hell would you possibly know that?
And how do you know how much the quantity of the drugs in the boat is? Like,
right.
There's nothing left of those boats.
And what if they have human shields in the boat with them as well? We've heard about that happening all over the world. Like, you don't know that those were four drug kingpins, you know? I mean, they could be some poor-ass person who's getting, a dinner's worth of wages to go be part of this, you know, shipment or something. And we just, no due process, no trial, no law enforcement activity. Mm-hmm. We just kill you from afar. See ya.
If you remember on the first one, Steve, I think you were the one that pointed out that, you know what, that boat was turning around and going back to port, and we still took him down.
That's the other story that's not getting enough attention. The New York Times did that one after the first bombing, and I mean, we talked about it. I haven't seen anyone else, though. The New York Times reported that first boat that got blown up saw the aircraft in the air, had turned around and was going back to port, and we tracked him down and killed him. It's the same as a guy trying to break into your home. He sees you with a gun. He takes off running, and you shoot him in the back. It went from self-defense to murder.
Yeah.
It's insanity.
Violet Storm says the wife of a fisherman on the first boat spoke to a journalist. So it's interesting. You know, I'd love to see that video, because that's what we were talking about. Like, we don't know that these weren't fishermen. And then Trump makes the joke like, not even fishing boats out there anymore. Like, how do we know these aren't all fishing boats? Show us the proof of this dead to rights, 100% intel that you have.
Totally. I mean, the Trump world is so eager to tweet everything out. As soon as the shooting happens, as soon as the bombing, we have video of it. I mean, Chris Hayes made a great comment that if this was a John Clancy novel or a John Clancy movie, that everyone involved would know to keep the secret because they would know it's illegal.
Yeah.
But Trump's just like, let me tweet the video of me murdering seven people in another country. And everyone's like, well, he's not hiding it. It must be legal, I guess.
Play that MedMed. Play that Reaper video again.
Right. And yeah, here's a good comment from Susan. If they can do that to them, they can do it to us. Could you fathom what would happen if Venezuela set a plane up here and blew a boat up off the coast of Florida or something in the Gulf of America?
Yeah.
I mean, please. These are insane times we are living in. So on one level, I'm glad we have plenty to talk about. On another level, I look forward to a week where I'm like, well, no news. Guess I'm not working this week.
Yeah. That'd be nice to take a week off for that. Steve, before we go, this is important that I play this for you. You know how the Catholic religion is oftentimes thought of to be conservative, right? As far as pro-life. When you have our new Pope, Pope Leo, coming out and making comment on some of the things that are happening in America right now.
Yeah.
Maybe it's worth taking a listen to it, MAGA.
Dramatic pause for effect.
Someone who says I'm against abortion but says I'm in favor of the death penalty is not really pro-life. So someone who says that I'm against abortion but I'm in agreement with the inhuman treatment of immigrants who are in the United States, I don't know if that's pro-life. So they're very complex issues.
Oh, he knows.
I don't know if anyone has all the truth on them. But I would ask first and foremost that there be greater respect for one another and that we search together, both as human beings, in that case as American citizens or citizens of the state of Illinois, as well as Catholics, to say we need to, you know, really look closely at all of these ethical issues and to find the way forward as church. The church teaching on each one of those issues is very clear.
It goes hand in hand with killing these people in Venezuela, dude. Like, you cannot be pro-life and think that any of this is okay. The way immigrants are being treated, the way, you know, we're just killing people from Venezuela. You can't think that. Charlie Kirk was the one who said, oh, bring back public execution. Televise them. Show them to kids so they know what to stay away from. You're not pro-life. It doesn't add up.
It's like all this transgender for all, transgender athletes. Like, those are human beings that your God created. So stop being a hypocrite. And Elaine right here, you're laughing about the murdering. It does not become you, though it may be necessary to control your more furious emotions. Yeah, you hit the nail on the head with the second half of your statement there. I'm not laughing at this because it's funny. It's crazy. It's absurd. Like, yes, I don't know what else to do other than be like, what am I supposed to do? This is hysterical laughter. This is trying to wrap my head around reality laughter. I don't think it's freaking funny at all. That's why we're talking about it. So
yeah, we wouldn't be reporting on it otherwise.
Right.
You know, I appreciate the comment.
It's laugh or cry. I mean, that's the state of affairs in America. Like, I gotta poke fun at some of this or I'll just jump off the roof. So
yeah. When it's something seems so unreal that you can't wrap your mind around it, I mean, I think that's a natural reaction to be like, what the hell is going on here?
Yes. And thank you, Scott. Elaine, I don't think he's laughing at the act. It's just the ridiculous nature of the whole state of affairs. Yes. Spot on. Thank you, Scott. That's all I needed.
Oh, boy. Lots of work to do, guys, gals, and my non-binary pals out there. We appreciate you tuning into the podcast today. The Vocal Minority with Nick and Steve.
Yeah, check out everything going on here on the Really American channel. And Facebook, I'm not seeing any comments from Facebook, so I don't know if they're actually able to comment. I don't know if they're watching or not, but we're on Facebook for Really American and for the Vocal Minority. So find it all, but support all the content going on here, because seriously, all of these hosts are risking their freedom. They're risking being audited. They're risking being sued and bankrupt from legal fees. Like, it's not a joke. So, but we do make some jokes and we do try to have fun and be informative. So check it all out, please.
Indeed. Well said, Stephen. We'll see you next week. We do. I think we're going to start doing two podcasts, by the way, throughout the week. We've been doing just one, but there's so much news that we need to get to more. So.
Yeah.
That'll happen, and until next time.
This has been another production of The Vocal Minority with Nick and Steve. Don't forget to check out all the social media, as the boys are on most platforms. Thanks for being part of the resistance, part of the pushback. Champions all around. Good day.
Good day.
Good day, sir.